water unit, we're able to, generate the same regard to,
Oh, well, I talked to, yeah, I talked to several people, I think you're getting calls.
Good.
And, some letters. And our friend said he might, if he can get free, he might even come into town. He can't.
Phone's too late.
Pardon?
Phone's too late.
I didn't do his calls, he's gotten, you know, no matter how much free he'll suffer, then he's gotten his rage out of the system. And of course, wife is worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's another guy. He was like, you could push your finger right through him.
He's a soft man.
Oh.
But nevertheless, let me say that, Richard's dignity is not a healthy man.
Oh, my.
Richard's doing well.
Anyone who, yeah, Dr. Lucas could stop them, but you know, it's just amazing with the dignity and quiet. And wife is just pushed and pushed and pushed. And the only thing John said as they closed the hearing off, you know, until 10 in the morning, he's back. And he said, obviously to his attorney, quite a trial I'm putting on up here.
Well, the wife is pretty hard, trying to get the damn president.
Mm-hmm, trying to get him to, trying every which way to make him say that a phone call or this or that or some way that he must, he had to have told you. He must have asked him, he asked the question.
Not true. He's only the truth.
He asked the question every which way, and John always answered it. I, there is no problem for me to answer it. I am not lying, you know.
Why was
a worker had logs and he was reading telephone conversations. I mean, times of telephone conversations. And, who was in there? You mean to tell me that you were in it the day after and he didn't say to you, what did you have to do with it? What did you do? And John still said, no, sir, he didn't have any of the way to do with it. After all, he had said, in the first place, the President of the United States is too busy to run his own investigation. He turned it over to the authorities, to the proper authorities, police, something like that. He wouldn't discuss it with us. Why would he interrogate, you know, something? He would not interrogate us. Because then Weicker says, well, Dean's testimony says, probably, and, you know, so then again, yes, they had, he had to say, probably that Mitchell was involved, and probably the call, the Dean testified, he said to you when he told you on that 21st or something. I don't remember the exact words, I was the man at Weicker at the time, I could have croaked him. And he's this big fat, you know, he's repulsive to me. It's that soft fat. And he's waving his arms around and he's being so, so righteous, you know.
Yeah, the 21st, he did, you know, dragged around about the everyday living on it.
Well, that's.
At the end, I said, let's get everybody down for 1 second and find out where we're going to get this story up.
That's why Dean immediately started getting going, trying to clear his own, not clear, but get in there and have everybody else get in. But I must say, John tried, I had the effort to try to fight him. I did probably register under William Conklin. Or he might be a friend of
Conklin.
He's browbeating. Trying to force him to admit that the president had to have asked him, either in the office or on this phone call and that phone call, this phone call and that phone call. And I like John Turner. He's a very calm man and he's a good, it looks to me like he's good with John. A friend did say that the one here, of course, is the chocolate. Favorite spread, because he's talked to me several times about his future in this, that, and the other. But I said, well, he's got such a big head, I'm afraid somebody in here talked to him, he would say.
He always does. How is it? Bryson, everybody doesn't know what it's like. I think Bryson can do many things, but Bryson's not.
Well, there's no point being dragged into something that you can't. Can't do any good with someone who's got that much of a baby.
I don't want to think too good of Bryson. I don't want to think concerned about me. I just thought it was pretty, pretty cheap stuff. The way Richard knows everybody's really taking it.
Well, the way you talked to Baker and his campaign for crying out loud.
And why? Good God, I was connecting. I gave $65,000 cash to one of our bus out of here. She knows.
Why did Cam call me today? He said that, I think he said something like, Dean never did have enough money in his account ever to have covered a $4,850 check. He called up Luke at the time, you know, yeah, and said, you people in here sick, he said, why don't you come out and you do a story on someone's come out and call in an investment, check into this money, you know.
But you know what I mean, that's obviously, that sort of thing gets in the public consciousness, but we have a role.
Well, but he was on television. People could hear the cheering. I saw it on television. And I think people...
I would be sure don't ever see your
room. I never have. Do you know that in the four and a half
years... I never see your
room. In the whole time we've been in office, she has let me bring her here, and I'm a picture.
I would just reach our history. That would be nice.
I know. You know what? As a matter of
fact, I have never spoken to her since then, actually.
I have decided that I will not give anyone an interview. If I do anything ever again, it will be live.
She is always up. Doing nothing, pushing there and kind of here, and I never speak to her. I never speak to her again. I don't hate her, but I will not allow that sort of conduct. But I was going to say, people worry about it out there in Kansas City. Was it keep your chin up for her all the way here?
Well, and like today, did.
And they're worried, you know.
Well, they're
worried.
They
know they shouldn't, I know. And it's
and you know what?
They know it's tough.
You know, it is. Good to work, but they have seen pictures of you and you look good. Now today, a woman called me from the Ohio Republican Committee. I've never talked with her before, and she works there part of the time and so forth. Said that she and the new chairman have been talking this morning. And one they wanted to say they were proud of me, you know, and that. She said, mostly we wanted to call to say, we just want you to please tell the president that we're all just as much behind him as we ever were. We're praying for him. We know everything's going to turn out all right. We have no doubt at all. And we just pray that God will give him strength to listen to these idiots. And it was very nice. That's the tenor of the call. And the letters. Praying. Some of them will be right behind us. Some of them ask sharp questions, but fair questions. I mean, they ask them fairly, and they ask...
They didn't do like Baker anyway. I think David White or Baker Arms. Baker was hard on her, I suppose, to ask.
Her wasn't bad. I let's see, somebody came. I had to talk to someone. So I didn't see as much of him, but I don't believe he was as bad. I understand he wasn't anyway.
Probably.
Except that he said something about, he's the one who used the expression, and I wasn't in the room with Marshall. A cat. And so if you didn't have the curiosity of a cat, you know, to ask them or something like this. And then he mentioned something about a cat with nine lives. And John Mitchell just grinned back at him and said, well, the president didn't ask me, and I hope he has eight more lives. He was really, I tell you, I was so impressed because I was so worried. I was really afraid because I was afraid John would pray. Well, Mitchell admits that that he felt again that it was important that you be elected, and then that it shouldn't destroy your presidency.
Now, those people feel
my goodness.